all be seated this morning. Amen. I'm going to wait till the choir sits down, and I want us all to pray today. Y'all hot? I was cold. Some of y'all look hot, so. Gary, would you like to turn it down for us? I just told Pam to turn it up a little while ago because I was cold. But I know when y'all are sitting like this, I know it's a little warm back here. This morning needs to be a participatory lesson. Y'all need to hear what I say or what the Lord says, and then we will participate in the midst of this lesson together. So, Doug, I'm going to ask you if you would pray for us this morning. One, that this church hears nothing from me, that they hear everything from the Lord, and that they would be receptive this morning for whatever the Holy Spirit would fill them with, if you would.
Shepherd, Lord, but in the presence of the Most High.
Amen.
Lord, the
Amen.
Presence of the Spirit of the Most High, the presence of the Son of the Most High.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, with our eyes open, our ears open, our hearts open, Lord. And Holy Spirit, we pray, Lord, if it were possible, a double portion of the anointing, Lord, to fall on our pastor, Lord, that
Amen.
The words would go forth, Lord, that would have originated out of the heaven of heaven, Lord. That they would come through him and he would be nothing more than a conduit
Please.
To speak to your people, those that are hungry, those that are thirsty after righteousness. Lord, I pray that as you anoint him, that you would also anoint us, Lord, from the youngest to the oldest, from the
Amen.
Least to the greatest, Lord, that we would receive from your word that very thing that we need the most. Lord, speak to us as individuals, Lord, but also speak to us as a corporate body.
Amen.
Lord, I pray that as your word goes forth in the power and the anointing as you said it ought to, Lord, that it would fall on good ground that has been cultivated and prepared by the Holy Spirit. And Lord, that it would lay seed. Lord, that it would begin to produce a harvest, Lord, that not would bring glory to this church, not would bring glory to us, not would bring glory to our pastor, Lord, but would bring glory to our Heavenly Father. Lord, your word says that we bring glory to you when we produce much fruit. Lord, let this word fall in our hearts and our minds. Let us receive it and let us produce fruit, much fruit, to the glory of God.
Amen.
Lord, we love you so much and we commit this time unto you and we surrender our will and we focus on you for just a few moments, Lord. Speak to us and let us hear your word. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. 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 The title of the message this morning is Information to Onformation. I want you to think about that just for a moment. But one of the greatest challenges for us as Christians is to move from a place of information to a place of onformation, and I'm going to explain what I mean. As individuals, we have a privilege to live in 2017, which many have called the age of information. Every day, you and I are flooded with all kinds of information. Social media, Facebook, Instagram, the news, personal opinion, social media, all different kinds of stimuli or stimulus actually floods us every day. But yet with this plethora, with this large amount of information, if you ask most Christians, they would tell you that there are times that they feel disconnected. And my question is why? if we have all the information, if we have everything that we need in this life, if you can turn on the TV, if you listen to social media, if you read Facebook, and we have all kinds of information, why do we all too often feel disconnected? There was a young man that was born blind. And this young man had exceptional, almost miraculous hearing. He had developed through the years the ability, when a car would drive by, he could tell you the make and the model of that car. Now his friend says, "I don't understand. You can't see." But yet, as a car drives by, you can tell. He said, "Yeah, that one that just drove by was a Ford." He said, "Wait a minute, wait. That one that just went by was a Porsche." And his friend says, "I don't understand." He said, "How do you do this?" And his friend made this statement. He said, "I listen a lot. And then I ask myself, what am I hearing?" Well, it brought me to where we are today. And I want you to do an experiment with me this morning. I want everybody to close their eyes. I want you to put your hand on your chest. Okay? So close your eyes, place your hands on your chest, and I want you to listen. And then I want you to ask yourself, what am I hearing? Now, here's what I want you to think about today. That's just a few moments of silence. But it's uncomfortable to a lot of people in this room. People don't like silence. And that's one of the problems where we are today, because what's important is when you put your hand on your chest, you need to listen, and honestly what you hear is that you would hear the muscle of your heartbeat. When we focus, I don't want us to ever focus on the distractions and tuning out the distractions. The challenge for me in the midst of this is I want us to tune in to the heartbeat that lies within. We don't do that. See, all of outward life has an inward beat. And all outer work has an inward root in our life. But the nature of such beats and the nature of such roots are difficult to distinguish. A lot of you, when you placed your hand on your chest this morning, you would go, "I listened, but I heard nothing." And I think that that's probably more of the majority than it would be the minority. But it takes attention to notice, and it takes time to listen, and it will take time to listen and ask yourself the question, what am I hearing? Jesus Christ left with you and me the Holy Spirit. We have been commissioned for a mission. Not only has he called everyone in this room that is a born-again believer, but he's also equipped those that he's called. Now, the root of everything that we do for God lies within an outward mission that has to be grounded by an inward life. Our outward ministry is born of an inward renewal, but because this is difficult to listen to, because it's difficult to hear, this whole process of information versus information is truly difficult to understand. In the midst of our God-given commission, everyone in this room, from teaching to administration to work or counseling, strategizing, responding to the crisis of just day-to-day life, little is left of an individual's energy or their ability to even focus or even at best to connect. We are too tired today to listen, and honestly, sometimes we are too tired to even hear. Now, this is not an insurmountable task. This is not something that we can't learn how to do. But the problem is, church, none of us have ever taken a class, say, Revival 101. We've never taken a class, Advanced Listening 201. And honestly, we've never taken a class called Information Assimilation 301. We haven't taken those classes, and because we haven't taken, we're not learned to listen, or we haven't been taught how to listen, and we sure haven't been taught to ask that question, what am I hearing in my life? If you were part of the men's ministry yesterday, it was an awesome, awesome time. But when you look at the Christian society today, you don't see the joy of the Spirit in most lives. You don't see the love. You don't see the joy. You don't see peace and patience. You don't see those things. But what you will see are nervous breakdowns. You will see eating disorders, and you will see infidelity. You will see sexual addictions. You will see drug and alcohol addictions. But even worse, in the midst of this disconnect that we have in our life, it's not what you see that is so important. It is what you don't see that is so important. And what you don't see is the people that are isolated today. You don't see the depression and the loneliness and the despair on the face of Christians today. You don't see the persistent exhaustion of most people, and you sure don't see the marriages that are hanging on by just that thin little thread. See, we have lived our entire lives in search of information. Everybody here has gone to some sort of schooling, and the whole process of schooling was to gain information because information would make us more intelligent. And I'm not saying that information is bad. I'm not saying that information is wrong. But here's what I'm saying about information. If you gain information and you still feel disconnected, then the information has done you no good at all. And that's the problem with the church today. I recently read that one single iPhone today contains more computing power than the entire Allied war effort of World War II. One iPhone. Now, I got to tell you that information is necessary. It's required. But we have to move our lives today from strictly information to information. See, we have misplaced our attention on what is most pressing instead of what is most important. Think about that. Look at all the stuff that pulls us away. It's pressing, but is it important? And what you and I have to do in the midst of this is to learn, and Doug prayed a minute ago, how to surrender our sense of value to His will. And life is not about information. Life for us is truly about God's word, and it's about God's will. There are times, and I never did this, you've heard the story, stop and smell the roses. But there are times, I believe, in our Christian life when additional information is of no good to you and me. Because again, we're not any more connected with it than without it. But I'm going to encourage you to do this. In the days to come, when the day becomes just crazy, when it's nothing but chaos, that what you need to do is not search for more information. Maybe what you need to do is go eat lunch. Maybe you might need to go walk in the park. Maybe you need to go and look at the water. Or maybe you need to go window shopping in the mall. And in the midst of what you do, when you pull away from information and you get to a place of information, I think you will find a connection with God. And I think what you'll begin to learn is that there's a connection, and you're going to find a sense of renewal. We don't need to focus on tuning anything out. What I'm encouraging us as a church to do is focus on tuning things in. And that you and I need to make time to listen. Listen a lot. And then candidly ask yourself the question, what am I hearing? For the most part, I think you would agree that Christians are very insecure. And as we face our insecurities, we do all we can do to distract ourselves from those insecurities. And instead of running to God, we run from God. And my encouragement today is to stop it. It's not about distractions. It's about tuning in to the most important thing that we have, and that is God. Amen. See, true devotions, the essence of true devotion is not having one more quiet time and sitting down with a cup of coffee. But true devotion is a slowly patterned life of attention. It means that if you're going to take the Word of God, and I've heard people go, I've read through the Bible 14 times. Well, here's what I'm going to ask us to start doing. Read the Bible, but read a verse. And then ask yourself in that verse, what am I listening? What am I doing here? And then what is that Bible? What is God saying to me? See, here's what I want to do. See, we need to get to a place to understand that it is the replacing of busyness with that which is important. And oftentimes, worship is nothing more than wordless worship and a worship of attention. We're all guilty of sitting down and praying. We're all voicing our concerns to God. We're talking, but all too often it's a one-sided conversation. We talk and he listens. And my encouragement for all of us today is that we've got to get to a place where it's not about the information, it's about information and our attentiveness just to listen and listen a lot. And then ask ourselves, what am I hearing? Now here's what I want to do. Turn your Bibles, if you would, this morning to Matthew 28, and I want us to go through 16 and verse 20. Matthew 28, 16 and verse 20. Now, if you have your Bible today, this Bible is the written word of a living God. This is not just written words, but this is written words of a living God. Now, here's what I want you to do. First of all, I want you to ask yourself, what is the commission our God gave to his disciples? The Great Commission. Okay? Now, Matthew 28, 16 through 20, but the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. Okay? When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and he spoke to them and he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth.
Amen.
And this is what he tells the disciples. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, here's my question to us as we go through this. The definition of commission is to give an order for or an authorization for production. So we just listened to the Word of God. But my question is, as we go through the Great Commission, what are we hearing? John, what did you hear when we read this? Okay, so we have listened already to the Word of God, but the key is, what am I hearing? And what John just said is that God said, all authority has been given to me. Okay, now we know in Scripture that we have no power over the evil one. But what we do have is authority over the evil one. So all authority has been granted to God. Christ lives in us, second person of the Trinity, and we will soon find out that when Jesus ascended into heaven, he left with us the Holy Spirit. Now, something else that's important in the midst of the commission that you have to hear. Now, you read it, you listened to it, go back again to the beginning. And let's on the screen. So, but the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee. They followed his instructions because that's where he wanted them to go. Okay, because that's where he designated. Next verse. When they saw him, they did what to him? They worshiped him. But the scripture says, but some were doubtful. We are the same way today. Next verse. And Jesus came up, spoke to them, what, like John said, all authority has been granted to him. Next verse. Now, in Matthew 28 and 19, we've listened to it, but what are you hearing? It says, go. The greatest problem with the Christian church today is that they sit on their backsides and they don't go. Now, here's the greatest thing of all in the midst of Christianity. If we all did our part, and I don't mean this to be rude, but coming to church on Sunday and paying your religious penance is not what God's asked us to do. We come on Sunday to get filled up. And the reason you come on Sunday to get filled up is because you have worked your tail off Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And God says, I want you to come in and rest on Sunday and allow me to minister to you because you spent the last 6 days ministering for me.
Amen.
Now, again, what you have to listen, but then you have to hear. is the fact that God says go. Thank you. And if there's anything that the New Testament church needs to do today, is to go. What is the commission? Go. Not park, but go. Now, second, from this verse, what is our mission? Okay? The definition of mission is to make, to cause something to exist or come about. So from the passages that we just read, number one, we listened to what God had to say. And this is just a quickie overview, and you need to go home through these passages and read them and read them and reread them and then listen. And listen a lot. And then ask yourself, what am I hearing? Because everybody here will hear something different. Okay? But the key here is, what is our mission? And our mission is to make disciples. Well, how do you make disciples? By sitting down? No. By going. And it says, make disciples. And then today, we're going to baptize in the second service. So, you know, not only do you make a disciple, but you baptize that disciple so they identify with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where the church stops today. But the Bible says, if you hear what God is saying, teach. And how do you teach this whole 66 books? In one lesson? No. Word by word by word. And precept by precept. And command. So that we get down and that we understand what the book is trying to tell us to do. But if you don't listen, you will never be able to hear. And the problem with the church today is that we don't take time. You know, people will read the whole chapter, and I'm saying, read the verse. And listen a lot to what God has to say in that verse. Then ask yourself, what did I just hear? So what is our mission? To make disciples. Okay, what's the commission is to go. The mission is make disciples and teach disciples and baptize the disciples. That's the mission. Here's the third. What is the Father's promise? Look at Acts 1:8. See, the church gets tired because we do it in our strength. You know, I look at church on Sunday morning and some of you guys are whooped. I mean, you are. I'll never forget, God love her, she's passed away, and I won't tell you who it is, but you'll know that she's dead. But she used to sit in the back, and she would come to me on Sunday morning, and she would go, Pastor, that was the greatest message I ever heard. And that woman slept through the entire service. She was sweet, she was lovely, she was kind, but she just slept. And that's the problem with us today is that you can't sleep reading the Word of God. You and I have got to get to the place that we take time and that we divert our attention not only to what we just listened to, but candidly what we just heard. Now, again, what is the Father's promise? Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of this earth. Now, again, if we just read that, what did you listen? I mean, what did you, what was the process? B, what did you, if you read that,
the Holy Spirit comes upon you, like it did on them, you want to go out and witness and tell about Jesus.
Okay. See, if you sit down and you listen, that's not just written words. That is a living God speaking to living people about a living word, about doing something living while we're right here. But we read this all too often as a text. And it's not a text. It's a living word. It's us conversing with our God. And our God is telling us, I want you guys to understand. So if we listen to it, then you need to spend some time and go, but what did I hear? Was that a Porsche that drew by, or was that a Ford that just drove? What did I hear? And it takes time to be attentive. But the Bible tells us that you will receive power, and the word power doesn't mean strength. That word power in the Greek comes from the word dunamis, which means that that is explosive, miraculous-making power that comes upon you when the Holy Spirit fills you up. You hear it, or you listen to it, but do you hear it? And that's the key for you and me. But not only, church, do you listen a lot, you ask yourself what you hear, and then you're going to have to ask yourself, well, what am I hearing? And he says in that passage, I want you to be a witness. Well, in hermeneutics, they tell you that there are certain basic principles to interpret Scripture, and one of them is, how do you relate it to culture? Well, it says that you need to be a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Literally, what that means to us today is that you need to be a witness in your city. That means that you need to be a witness in your state. That means that you need to be a witness in your country. But it also means that you need to go, if God calls you to do so, to the remotest parts of the earth and do what God has called you to do. I've told you this before, and you know, when we first got in the ministry, and Pam was like, you know, I married a cop, I didn't marry a preacher, and I'm not really for this. And we had a guy come in, he was a missionary, and he was from Africa, and he was speaking to everybody, and he says, I know that there's somebody in this congregation today that is going to accept the call to go to Africa. And Pam got quiet. She did say nothing. And we drove home. I went, honey, what's wrong? And she said, I just knew that you were going to stand and going, we're going to Africa. You know, I didn't hear that. But some of you have. And it's imperative for us to understand what the commission is, what our mission is, and honestly, what did the Holy Spirit promise you and me? See, he calls us, but he equips us. And if he equips us, he gives you everything that you need to do what he's called you to do. He hasn't sent you out like a lost sheep. He's going, I'm going with you. And I'm going to give you everything that you need to make sure that you can accomplish the goals in your life. Now, here's another one. How much of God's promise can you have? Okay? Look at Luke 11 and verse 13. And again, when we read this, listen to the Word of God. Don't just read it, but I want you to listen as if God is sitting down in a conversation and he's saying this to you. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who are asked? Now, here's one of the things that's important. That was a passage written to the disciples. Holy Spirit hadn't even come. I want you to understand that inside of you today is the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You don't have to ask for the Holy Spirit. Now, I know some will disagree, but here's what I believe. You've got the Holy Spirit. You got God the Father, you got God the Son, you got God the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It's not that the Holy Spirit has not infilled you. And I know we talk about baptism of the Holy Spirit. I think that that's an awakening in us because the Holy Spirit's in us. But how willing are you to submit to what he's asked you to do? Because see, if you listened a lot to what the Word says, and then you sat down and then you ask yourself the question, what am I hearing? It would be a total different picture. Because God didn't say, I want you to just park your bottoms on the chair. God said, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm going to give you a miraculous making power so that you can go out and accomplish what I've asked you to do. There's not a person here that is not afraid to go out and witness. I don't care who you are. You go knock on a door, you've never talked to the person before. You know, the last pastor, and he came and preached at our anniversary. Rick always went out. He always shared Christ with people at the table. First time Pam and I went out, we sat down at the dinner. I wanted to follow the example of my pastor. And I said, is there anything that we can pray for you about? No! Pam goes, well, how'd that work out? Well, probably not too good. We went to Albertson's years ago, and some of y'all heard that story. There's a guy in the bread section over there, and Pam and I up there, and I went, this guy's just out of surgery. You know, he's got bandages everywhere. We walked up to him, and I wanted to share Christ. He, like, just blew up in the store, man. He's like, I don't like your God, blankety blank. I'm from Vietnam. I mean, he just went off. And Pam, like, man, she was like in the fruit and vegetable section by then, man. You know, she wasn't even close to the bread section. And here I am standing in the middle going, okay, you got me in it. Now, where do I go from here? Because I got no clue. And the guy was hot, man. I mean, he didn't want to hear anything about the Lord. So I'm like, you know, two for two. And it ain't good. And then one time we went to Dallas and I sat down and one side was a restaurant and the other side was a bar, and the bar was loud and the music was playing and the waitress was at our table, and I was like, well, I'm gonna do it again. And I said, anything we can pray for you about today? And that poor girl just started crying. And long story short, before the end of the night was over with, in the midst of the band playing and the drunks on that side and everybody overeating on this side, she knelt down next to our table and she prayed to receive Christ. Amen. Amen. It's an awesome thing. But what we have to understand is God gave you the power to make it happen. And you don't need to pray for something that you already got. And if you literally listen to the Word of God and then ask yourself, what am I hearing? You would hear that the Holy Spirit lives in you already. But the problem is that we don't tap into what He's got. And that the Holy Spirit is powerless because we don't use that power. Here's the last one that I want you to think about. What can you do with the promise? Look at John 14, 12, and 13. It says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes. Now, before, when we began, it said some doubted. The key here for us today is he who believes in me. Not just part of him, but all of him. And we talked last week that, you know, our relationship with Jesus Christ is not a Luby's menu. You don't get to pick and choose. It's all or none. But the key with this is he who believes in the Lord, the works that he does, you and I will do also. But then it says greater works than these he will do because I go to the Father. Mm-hmm. Now we know that God came down, manifested himself in Jesus. Jesus became God, which didn't become. He was God. He became perfect man, accomplished what the Father wanted to do. He ascended into heaven. He sits on the right hand of God the Father. And then he told his disciples, go to Jerusalem, stay right there for the promise. And we know that he gave them the Holy Spirit. Amen. But now Jesus sits on the right hand of God the Father. Why does he want, and you got to hear it, why does he want disciples? So that the gospel can still be spread. You know, Gary brought friends that are here today. It's because of Gary that they're here. How many other people in this room could bring friends that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? Not only do you need to listen to the Word of God, you got to ask yourself, what am I hearing? And I promise you, if you spend time and you're attentive, God will tell you what He wants you to do. If it's not up to us, it will not get done. So it says, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So whatever we do in Jesus' name, we do it for one reason. We talked about in the men's ministry yesterday, the key here was this, is that when we go out and we heal somebody, or we pray for that, not heal them, but when we go out and pray for someone to be healed, we don't do it to bring glory to us. We do it, number one, is so that we can glorify God, and that God becomes the person who that people will see as the miraculous making God, and they will be the witness portion of this. If we healed or prayed for Oscar to get healed, God gets the glory. But there's a witness here to go, God's power touched me. We prayed for Lori's headache, and the headache's gone. She's got some issues now that Satan's trying to mess with her eye, but we're going to pray for that too. And the process in the midst of this is that we pray to a God who has the power to heal, then God does the healing, and Lori becomes the witness. And that's the process of what we do. Now think about this, and we're going to close. We have to begin, if we are going to accomplish what God has called us to do, to listen. When you read God's word, it's just like the blind man. How do you accomplish this? I listen a lot. And then I ask myself, what am I hearing? How awesome, church, would it be if we could have a conversation every day with God? Would be like that prayer without ceasing, and that our inner lives would absolutely burst forth with fruit so that we could do what the scripture said that we could do, that we could literally go over and cast out demons, that you and I literally could speak with new tongues, and that means through God that we could bring edification to the church. And that we literally could go wherever God called us to do, and we could lay our hands on those individuals that were sick, and through the glory of God, He would bring healing to them. Amen. How awesome would it be? But it's going to take us to listen, and it will take us to ask ourselves, what do we hear? There are millions and millions of ways to be distracted, but there is only way to be devoted. And that is to be connected with God. Amen. Listen a lot, and then ask yourself, what am I hearing? Amen? Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise this morning.